Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. As the American tariffs come into effect and the economic fallout takes shape, the response of Northumberland County leaders is critical. On today's show, you will get an insight from two perspectives. First, Northumberland County CAO Jennifer Moore and Dwayne Campbell, Director of Economic Development and Planning, will share the results of a joint meeting of municipal staff. They gathered to formulate a local response. While the federal and provincial governments outline their action plan, you will hear what is being done locally to make a difference. See if you think it is sufficient and what more could be done. I'm absolutely delighted to have with me today Northumberland County CAO Jennifer Moore and Dwayne Campbell, Director of Economic Development and Planning. Welcome to you both to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
There is a lot of uncertainty surrounding tariffs imposed by the United States against Canada. There are growing fears over the level of economic disruption that this will cause. But there was a meeting of municipal staff from the county and lower tier levels to work out a response. Jennifer, I'd like to start with you. What took place at that meeting?
Well, we, as a intermunicipal group, we do meet regularly on a number of items. The CAOs meet every couple of months to talk about a wide range of topics impacting all the municipalities in Northumberland. So at a recent meeting, we did identify economic uncertainty and pending tariffs as a significant concern enough that we thought we should bring in all of our economic development staff, as well as a few others, purchasing staff, finance staff, and so on to first of all, understand what's going on, and then to start to formulate a bit of a response plan locally. So we gathered everybody together to mainly gather some information to understand what others are doing and decide what would be the best next steps for Northumberland.
Dwayne, as the person responsible for economic development at the county, what was your takeaway or your takeaways from that meeting?
Well, there were a couple things, Robert. One, I think it was recognizing that there's a need for advocacy and collaboration amongst not only the county, but its local municipalities, and also what's been happening at the provincial and federal levels, all three levels of government, using a Team Canada approach to start to understand what the impacts of this tariff will be on a national scale, provincial scale, and then a local scale specifically for us in Northumberland County. So part of the meeting was to understand what efforts could start to be undertaken from our local perspective so that our voice can be echoed up to the other levels of government and start to understand those impacts on a broader scale.
Jennifer, is there an action plan for the county and for the municipalities at this point?
We identified four main areas that we want to work on. One is joint municipal purchasing. We've always done some work together, but really digging into that even more and understanding particularly purchases that come from the U.S. and identifying where we can either find other more cost-effective sources or can we offset some of the increased cost due to tariffs by bulk purchasing and mitigate the impacts that way. The second one was data collection and direct advocacy. As Dwayne has already mentioned, we need to make sure we fully understand the impacts to our local community and we start to amplify our voice with other levels of government. Looking at regional advocacy for trade and local businesses was the third, and then a buy local initiative being the fourth. And I think that's the one that we'll really see more of in the public realm in the coming weeks, is that buy local initiative. So those were the four main priorities that we identified as having to work on as a group.
Jennifer, I'd like to just flesh a couple of those points out, if I may, please. First of all, the sharing of services has been a long time goal of the county and local municipalities to find efficiencies and cost effectiveness. How is this different than what you were doing before?
I don't think it's particularly different. I think it's a lot of the same elements. It's just a really much more intensified pressure to scrutinize where there might be opportunities. I think the other thing that's maybe a little bit different this time is we are hearing from some organizations, such as the Eastern Ontario Wardens Caucus, calling on other levels of government to change some of the rules around purchasing, looking at some of our agreements that are in place. We have to work within in that legislation, but there is an opportunity with the various groups that we're members of to advocate and say, okay, maybe the rules need to change a little bit, and that might open some things up where we have different opportunities than what we've had previously.
I know there's been an agenda to push for restructuring as a way to save taxpayers' dollars and to simplify the systems. Has that entered into any of these discussions, or is it completely something separate and not on the table in this context?
Not on the table in this context. I think that that's something that these conversations were more about, particularly what staff could do, what tools we could develop and create for our politicians, things that we can do within our operations, and ways that we can motivate the public to look at their own purchasing habits. The look at other structures of government, that sort of thing, we're waiting on member municipalities to bring their resolutions in per the request of county council. So that's still a number of weeks off before we'll have all of that information in and report back. So this is really, this initiative is working with the tools that we have today and how we can enhance those and deal with some of the current economic threats.
The second point you brought up was measuring inputs. What does that mean to the everyday person when you're talking about that?
When we talk about some of the measures, that's really going out to some of our local business partners, understanding where their services and where their goods are being sold, understanding potential job implications, if they have to take any steps within their business because of impacts to their sales. What do we anticipate that will, how will that impact our community and our business community? That's really the measures that we're talking about here. Understanding, we know, for example, that when we talk to the Northumberland manufacturers, that probably they're estimating over 90% of our goods produced would look at either directly or indirectly crossing the border at some point. So, that's the kind of data that we want to make sure that we're is refreshed and well understood with all of our current businesses in the community and what that ripple effect will be.
Dwayne, what tools do you have in your toolbox to help mitigate some of the things that Jennifer's just talked about?
I think we're taking, like I said, a similar approach to what other large organizations like the Association Municipal Ontario, Municipalities in Ontario, AMO, are taking, and recognizing that there is this need to start to collect the data and understand what the real impacts are from groups like the Manufacturers Association, from our agricultural sector, from our tourism sector, putting those numbers behind what those impacts are likely going to be when the tariffs come into effect. And then again, being a collective voice of advocacy to provincial and federal levels of government in a hopes to secure funding or resources that can help aid in those sectors. We're also, like Jennifer mentioned, looking at some type of buy local campaign, a made in Northumberland approach that will hopefully stimulate some local spending from residents and businesses, and keep the economy going in that respect. And Jennifer mentioned earlier about our internal procurement processes that are likely getting looked at on a bigger scale, both at the county and local levels, that will hopefully be able to make some adjustments as needed.
Jennifer, international trade is a national economic responsibility, and the province has some jurisdiction as well. And you mentioned a Team Canada approach, which I think everybody is chiming in and saying this has to be the way we're going to go. But are consultations taking place? I mean, at what level are the provincial and federal governments talking to municipalities, or is it through others? And
We have obviously connections with all of our representatives at the various levels, and there are political conversations. But, you know, Duane has mentioned organizations like the Association of Municipalities of Ontario. AMO does the majority of the advocacy work on behalf of municipalities in Ontario. They have regular meetings with other levels of government, but primarily the province, and representing the needs of municipalities, what tools will help us, be that funding, be that legislative changes. And then we also have other groups like the Eastern Ontario Wardens Caucus, Eastern Ontario Leadership Council, you know, working with all of those associations and staying connected with some of our more local associations that then can go through their networks. So like the Chambers of Commerce, the Northumberland Manufacturers Association. So ensuring that we are having conversations with all of our colleagues and partners. So it's a wide range of folks that we are talking to, and all of them have that connection or network to the upper levels of government that certainly can hopefully influence some of the impacts.
Are you talking to the MPP and the MP? Have you had conversations with them yet?
I have not directly, but I know that politicians, I understand, are having some of those conversations. Obviously, provincially, the province is in a caretaker mode at the moment. So we're somewhat limited in conversations that we can have directly with the province until we get past the election.
But the MP, he's still the MP, and he's still in power, not power, but he's still representing you. Yeah. Have you had conversations with Philip Lawrence?
I have not. I believe some of our politicians may have had those conversations. At a staff level, we have not directly.
Well, speaking of politicians, on February 5th, the county warden released a statement. And while it's expected that everybody talks about deconcern and we need to buy local, there's lots of things that can be said by politicians. But I guess from a staff point of view and recommendations, what is needed to help politicians make decisions, to take action, to do things that are going to help us locally?
I think that's some of what Duane spoke about the data collection, making sure that staff are providing our politicians with good, solid information so that when they are speaking, when they are doing their advocacy work, they understand what the impacts will be to the community. When we met as a group with all of our member municipalities, we spent a significant amount of time talking about procurement and the current trade agreements that are out there that we have to adhere to, looking at ways that either us locally or other municipalities are exploring to see if there can be modifications to some of our own procurement bylaws that are still within the framework of the trade agreements. So we're going through an assessment and evaluation process now to see what flexibility we have. And that can certainly result in some proposals of amended bylaws or things like that may be coming forward to our councillors so that they can make some decisions and enhance the tools of staff in our response. So we're currently doing that research and evaluation to see what flexibility we have so we can arm our politicians with all of that good data and information.
Duane, what about the public? I mean, it's great that bureaucrats are doing their bit and politicians are going to do their bit. But are there any opportunities for the public to voice their concerns, to speak out, and to become part of this process as well.
Yes, Robert, we've started to give some thought to what a, I'll call it, community engagement campaign might look like, and it's still early days, and we're working through with our municipal partners and eventually the chambers and the manufacturing associations in Northumberland. But in the coming weeks, I think we'll have a better sense of a framework of what, you know, I'll call it a buy local campaign, but it'll be more than that. It's a community engagement initiative that I think will start to outline what some of those impacts are that we've discovered, and then what we as a county or as a municipality or the residents and businesses of the community can do to start to take action. So more on that to come.
Jennifer, I appreciate very much this buy local, and you've obviously are trying to implement something even at a bureaucratic level to buy local. But there may be people who have ideas about what direction we should be going in, or maybe, hey, we should be doing this or we should be doing that. What venues are going to be available to people to actually put their hand up and say, I want to be more involved than just purchasing in the downtown, or, you know, going to this store and buying that? Is there going to be an opportunity for people to actually feel like they're part of the process rather than having to just sit back and watch governments and all this stuff going on around them?
We haven't got a formal avenue set up just yet. We're still in the planning phases for what it will look like. I think the public always do certainly have opportunities. One of their biggest opportunities is with their own wallet or their own credit card and how they make their purchasing decisions, whether they be buy local or buy Canadian or buy, you know, anywhere but they can make those decisions. We do have a lot of local businesses that they're certainly active in their own associations and within their professional communities that I think they have some avenues there. But we'll certainly look at that opportunity. We did have, I know, previous buy local campaigns, opportunities for pledges and ways to amplify their voice and speak out to say they were doing their part. And certainly with things like social media, being able to encourage your peers to take steps as well is a very powerful motivator and something that can really help people get their voice heard.
Wayne, I want to know, how could local investment in certain projects within Northumberland County help the local economy? I'm just wondering, you know, you hear federal and provincial governments talking about construction projects, and I know that the county is involved in some social housing and trying to get projects off the ground. Is there any sense that this kind of a strategy is going to be implemented? Was there any discussion at all as you guys were talking around the table that we need to be putting more money into, say, affordable housing or any other of the kind of infrastructure type things that help generate jobs and also stimulate the economy?
As far as the discussions have gone so far, we recognize that there will be an impact to some of those projects that we have currently. You know, construction material for large infrastructure projects, for example. We have 31 projects planned for 2025 at Northumberland. That's not including any other housing projects. And those are worth about $58 million. So there's going to be an impact on that amount of money, depending, you know, when those tariffs come in. Parts for our fleet management, HVAC systems in our facilities. These are, you know, imports that we would potentially have increased costs that will have local impacts. At our local municipalities, chemicals that are used in water supply plants and waste treatment plants. Again, there's, I think, an understanding and a recognition that there will be an impact. What we have to do is determine exactly what the amount will be, and then start to, again, advocate as a collective voice for what additional funding and resources will be needed to combat those impacts.
Jennifer?
I was just going to add, if I could just add a little bit to Dwayne, I think we have had some high level conversations about assessing the suite of projects that we have in the immediate term And, you know, is there opportunity to juggle any of those? Some things can't move. Some things that, you know, they are just, you know, it's mandated, it's scheduled, their items are, you know, projects are already underway. But there are some areas where, I've asked staff to evaluate, can we juggle some timing? You know, if things settle down over a period of a year or two, you know, could we move some things around? You know, it's fairly limited where we're able to do that, but where we can, we're starting to have some of those looks at our capital and operating plans.
Which brings me to my question, which was going to be, this has budget implications. And while the county oftentimes is a funnel between provincial and federal programs and grants, and it comes through and it flows through into the projects, is there a possibility, or are you looking at maybe looking at budgets and increasing spending in order to mitigate any negative job implications or local economic implications?
I think it's early days at this point to really make that determination. It's something that we're looking and watching. Certainly no decisions have been made and no proposals have been put together for anything like that at this point. We know that we had a bit of a false start a month ago, that there would be tariffs, retaliatory tariffs, that was paused. We're now waiting to see, you know, we're told they're going to go forward this time around. We'll see if that happens. So we're not going to pull the trigger on anything like that until we really know what's happening and what kinds of tariffs are put in place and what kind of response is taken nationally for Canada. So there's still too many unknowns to really talk about those kinds of mitigation plans just yet.
I want to talk about that. How do you manage this level of uncertainty? I mean, not knowing what the possible outcome could be next, and it seems to pivot on a dime. I'll start with you, Jennifer. How do you, as a leader within the bureaucracy, talk to your people? How do you manage this kind of thing, especially due to the volatile nature of it?
I guess these are some of the lessons we learned and some of the skills we acquired during COVID. You know, we figured out how to continue to deliver service with a lot of unknowns being thrown at us on a day-to-day basis. And we had to sit down as, you know, senior management teams, figure out, you know, that infamous pivot term, and we had to make those calls. And I think this will be just another one of those tests that we get more information as things unfold, we'll have to assess day by day what we need to do to take steps. For now, it's business as usual. We will deliver the services that we could always deliver. That is our first priority, to make sure that everything that is essential continues to happen. What our residents need will still be available to them. If they call 911, an ambulance will come. If they need shelter, it will be available. If they need, you know, their long-term care services and so on, we'll make sure that all of those things are still there. We do things like have reserves for unforeseen circumstances and rainy days. We like to make sure we don't dip into those reserves unless it's absolutely necessary, but we do have some reserves for uncontrollable events. And some of those things can help tide us over in a short term without having an immediate financial impact to the residents. Of course, you know, all those things have to be replenished over time, but we have some resources available to keep things going in the immediate and short term.
Then how do you enhance resiliency in the community, lessen fears, reduce anxieties, because people do look to local government for those kinds of things?
I think one of the first things is that reassurance that our services will be there. And that is our top priority, that residents will continue to receive the services that they need and require from their government. And then, you know, Dwayne and his team will look at ways that we can help to bolster the local economy and look to the partnerships that we can have with our business groups and our member municipalities and so on. I think that's where our communication team comes in, and making sure that there is accurate and up-to-date information that's shared with the public. And we look to all of our media partners to help us get that message out there so that residents can understand what's being done, what the realities are. If we're collecting data, how do we share that information, and making sure that the public do understand the steps we're taking and what the real situation is.
Jennifer, we've watched an unprecedented amount of divisiveness at the county in the past year, especially in the county chambers, on a number of issues. What can happen at the county level, politically and with staff, that can give a sense of solidarity going forward in such an uncertain time rather than a feeling of conflict?
I think that at a staff level, I can't really speak to what happens around the horseshoe with our local politicians, but at a staff level, I can say that the leadership team at the county certainly has great relationships with all of our partners at our member municipalities. That has never changed. We all meet regularly, be it the CAO's group, the roads group or the public works group, the clerks meet, the treasurers meet, the planners meet. We have we have a whole list of intermunicipal groups that work together. So we collaborate as staff all the time. That's how we get a lot of things done. And those relationships don't change. Yes, they can be somewhat influenced by our politicians, but I think everybody is very dedicated to the roles that we have, whether it be at the county or our member municipalities. We understand the services that are needed, and we're here to serve the public. And we still do that, and we have some really great relationships and partnerships to make sure we get that job done.
Dwayne, you're in charge of economic development. It has that magic word, economic, economy. How is your job changing in the face of these events recently regarding tariffs and the economic pressures?
I don't know that it's changing all that much, but it is putting a spotlight and an emphasis on the need to, I think, collaborate a lot more with our local municipal partners, recognizing that those impacts are going to have region-wide, county-wide influences, and having that collaboration and that single voice, I think, is going to bode well for the community, and collaborating with the public and the businesses that are in the community. So that's where I kind of see the direction headed right now. It'll continue. We'll continue to make those have those relations. Though there may be some divisiveness, as you said, around the horseshoe at the political level. As Jennifer said, at the staff level, I think we're all well aligned and recognizing that this is something that we all need to work towards.
Jennifer, what should listeners be looking for in the upcoming days and weeks?
I think we'll have more communication and information as we start to get that. We certainly understand the importance in sharing that. And as you say, making sure that the public do understand what's happening, probably where they'll see the most communication as we start to launch a buy local campaign and what the call to action is for the members of our community.
Jennifer Moore, Dwayne Campbell, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks for having us.
That was Northumberland County CAO Jennifer Moore and Dwayne Campbell, Director of Economic Development and Planning. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.